Good to see you all.
You know, I really appreciated that song that Robert sang simply because of the word precious. I was thinking this afternoon, actually I was working on next Sunday morning's lesson and I started thinking about that word precious, and I thought maybe it would be good to look at some of the precious things of God, the things that come to us, you know, and I want to express just my understanding of some of the few, a few of the many, actually, precious things that we read about in our Bibles. We would never get through all of them, but we'll just look at a few, and we don't want to misuse the word precious, so we actually want to look and see what that word means. That word, it means something that is held at of a great price. Metaphorically, it's held in honor, esteem, especially something that's very, very dear. Marriage, for example, is honorable. That's the word that is translated precious many places. The Pharisee Gamaliel, he was somebody that was held in great respect, and that was the same word, precious. In Acts chapter 20 at verse 24, we read of the apostle Paul. He didn't count his life precious. What he counted precious was to finish the course, to run the race, to complete his ministry. And so that's some of the ways in which that word is used in the scripture. So we want to go on and think about something that's very precious. Precious, of course, is the very word of God. Often people take the word of God just for granted. And we mentioned that this morning, that people, you know, they just, the Bible is just a book written by men, and yeah, it's important and we should follow what it says, but it has nothing to do with us, the church, salvation, but that's not really true. And the bottom line, people make so many excuses for not reading, for not coming to studies, even though it was commanded by God. It is very precious. And what seems to be what people seem to overlook is what we receive from this precious word. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, we're told to be diligent, to be very careful, to study, to show ourselves approved. So one of the things we receive from this precious word and is to be approved of God. When we're constantly looking into this word, when we're constantly learning about Him, learning about what is and isn't true, learning about ourselves, we become approved of God. And we also are people who are unashamed. And the reason we're unashamed is because we have the Word, we've studied the Word, the Word is precious to us, and we're able to use the Word of God to give answers to people who ask us of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. And so we're not ashamed of the Word. And we have a genuine understanding of the truth because of that study. So there's great value in the precious Word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and at verse 13, right, Paul tells Timothy to, till I come, he says, give attention to the reading and to exhortation to doctrine. You know, we're not waiting for Paul to come. We all know that. He's in the grave and he's waiting for Jesus just like we are. Until Jesus comes, we ourselves need to give exhortation. We need to give attention to the reading, right? Exhortation is a really interesting word. The exhortation is parakletos, and it comes from a Greek term, parakletos, and the parakletos means to summons one, to call somebody to one side. And so that's one of the great benefits of the word. Exhortation refers to the act of calling somebody to your side for the purpose of offering comfort, encouragement. That's what the word's all about. The word gives us comfort. The word gives us encouragement. And as we exhort one another, and we have exhortation, we're calling ourselves together to have that comfort and that encouragement, if you will, through the word. And Paul tells us also that there is hope. That's what exhortation is really all about. It's the idea of giving comfort, encouragement, and hope. through God's precious word. And you think about also Revelation chapter 1 and at verse 3, blessed is he who reads those who hear the words of the prophecy and those who keep the things that are in it. So when it comes to God's word, we are so much the recipients of blessings just simply because we read the word. What's more precious than that, to be able to receive blessings? Blessings because we hear the word, and blessings for keeping the things that the word teaches. And so again, the precious word of God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. We read that by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. We think about how precious the word is. The world that we live in, the stars, the moon, all the creatures, all the seas, the mountains, the glory of majesty rather of all the mountains and the rivers and the valleys, everything that we see, the glorious flowers that we look at and are amazed by, and plus everything was formed by the word of God. The worlds were framed by the word of God. And the word of God, the things that are seen, the things that aren't seen, everything. And that makes the word of God very precious to us, because this world is a gift from God. And, you know, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God said, and over and over and over again, it was the word. We read in John 1:1 that the word, you know, the word was with God. The word was God. By all things were made by him. The word, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus, of course, is the word. He's the light, and he's the power of God unto salvation. And so precious is the word of God, because it made all things, including us. So next, the word of God has guided all the prophets. We look back and we can see consistency in the Old Testament. We can see prophets who made prophecies that were fulfilled throughout the entire history of mankind. The prophetic word was confirmed because it's a light that shines in a dark place. This precious word that we have was prophecy that came not by man, but through the Holy Spirit from God to his prophets, including the apostles. And so precious is that word. And also, it's inspired by God. Think of that. 1 Timothy 3:16, 17. We've heard it so many times, right? All scriptures written by the breath of God, pneuma theos, the breath of God, inspired by God. And it's good for all, you know, we read about it. We receive doctrine from the word. We receive correction and reproof from the word. And when we study it, instruction in righteousness, we know how we should be acting. We know what pleases God. All because of this precious word that he's given us. And even more than that, Paul tells Timothy that it completes us. Right? We're actually, there's a like a puzzle with a missing piece if we don't have the word of God. When we have the word of God, God puts that special, powerful piece in its place, and we have all the things that we need. Everything we need. 2 Peter. Look at, go over to 2 Peter with me, just for a second. We'll read a couple of verses. I just love this part of the scripture. Of course, I love all the parts, but 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll begin at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we have knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ? Through the precious word of God. Verse 3, by his divine power, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's what the word does for us. We have these great and precious promises. We can be partakers of that if we are partakers of the precious Word of God. You know, James in chapter 1 and verse 27, he tells us that bottom line is that the Word is implanted in the hearts of believers, and that's what saves our souls. Romans 1 and 16, the Word is the power of God unto salvation. And so think about that. All these things, the Word, the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls, James says. And then the precious is Christ, right? Even unbelievers should at least think about all the things that the Savior did, all the things that Jesus did while he walked upon the earth, all the things that were proven by many witnesses, thousands of witnesses, the things that they saw, the things that they received of him. And that makes him precious to all people. You know, Jesus, a living stone chosen by God and precious, the scripture says, in him we are also living stones. And by that, it means that in Christ Jesus, our life doesn't end here upon the earth. Jesus is the living stone that was laid in Zion. We read that in this scripture, the chief cornerstone, elect and precious, it says. And because we believe in him, we will be by no means put to shame. We believe in Jesus Christ, we will by no means be put to shame. That's what Paul is telling us here, or Peter rather, in this scripture. And bottom line, not only is he precious, but we think about this and we realize that he's precious because of, there's a few reasons, right? He's precious because he lived as God, with all the power that God had, knowing all things, the ability to do anything he wanted, be anywhere he wanted, and yet he lived a humble life here upon the earth, right? You know, he's walking on the earth as a man, and people want to follow him, and he warns them, foxes have holes, birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. God in the flesh, the powerful Creator, he's humble enough to walk around on this earth not having any place to lay his head. Another reason is because he set a perfect example for us. Right? Peter tells us that, you know, for this you were called, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. He gave us an example that as a Christian, we're not only warned that we will have times when we will suffer for him, we should follow in his footsteps, Peter said. So it wasn't only the example of suffering, but also the example of a godly life. He gave us an example of a life of compassion, a life of truth and trust, a life that was filled with mercy and grace. And so we just have that perfect example, and that's one of the reasons that makes him precious. And he also gave us an example of obedience. When we think of that, right? He made himself of no reputation, Paul says, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, being found in the appearances of man, and he humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death, or to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. What a great example that is. Christ is precious because he lived a humble life. He set a perfect example for us, and he was obedient throughout. Another thing that is precious. Precious is the blood of Christ. That should go without saying, but we will say it. Right? We think of that. Precious is the blood. 1 Peter 1:18-19. You think about all the things that man considers precious can't save us. Right? Precious stones. whatever, you know, silver and gold, corruptible things, they can't save us. Nothing but the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb of God without spot or without blemish and without spot. That's what is precious, to realize again, all the power that he had. Precious, precious, precious is the blood. Hebrews chapter 22 tells us that almost all things are purified without the shedding of blood. There is no remission of sin. Jesus shed his own blood. You know, when Pilate, you know, Jesus told Pilate that he doesn't have the power to kill Jesus. He didn't have the power to have him crucified. He didn't have the power to even to try him. God is the one that gave that power. If it weren't for God, they could not have taken Jesus, but they did, because, you know, it was ordained from the very foundation of the world. And Jesus shed his precious blood one time for you. That's what he did. And we need to remember that. Remember that the root meaning of the word to call to one side, parakletos, parakaleo rather, the shedding of his blood, he's calling us to his side and to the side of our Creator, our Father. So I think that's tremendous and precious. The blood that was shed was for the remission of sin. Right? We read that in Matthew 26, at verse 27 and 28, when he set up the Lord's Supper. Right? And he tells us that his blood was shed for the remission of the sins of many, for the whole world, really. And so, precious is that blood, because it has that ability to save and wash and cleanse us, which is one of the reasons it's so precious. Right? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And there's certain things that the blood does. It justifies us, Romans chapter 5 and in verse 9. It brings us near to God, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, right? That we who were afar off are brought near by the blood of Christ. Precious, precious blood. Precious is our faith. And we need to understand, you know, Peter tells the saints of false prophets in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. We hear about false prophets among the people, that there would be false teachers among the people, and that they would secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Peter said. And they bring swift destruction to anybody that follows them. But the faith that we have, Ephesians chapter 6, right? Helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. That's what keeps us from these false teachers. That's what keeps us from destructive heresies. That's what protects us. Romans 10 and 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what protects us. And so faith also changes lives, right? Read Galatians chapter 1. 22 and 23, and we read about the apostle Paul. He was unknown by face to the churches, which were in Judea, but they were only hearing that he who formerly persecuted us. See, he's been changed, preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. Paul was changed by the faith. On that road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9, and he meets up with the Lord Jesus in the Spirit, and he's sent off to Damascus. He's in this place 3 days, no food, no water. Ananias comes, tells him what he must do to be saved. He does it, and he goes right out He's a changed man. Simply by precious faith. We can all do that. You know, and the change isn't always so dramatic that you get up out of the baptismal and you run off and start preaching Jesus out in the city and the streets. The change could just simply be the knowledge that you've done what you've been asked to do by God and that now you're safe. And you can live in peace and harmony with the fellow saints. And you don't have to worry about what's going to happen when you die. And so faith changes lives. Faith saves, which is really what it's all about. Right? By which you were also saved, Paul said, if you hold fast to the word which I preached, unless you believe in vain. Faith can save, but we need to hold fast to the word. It is the word of God that tells us what we must do to be saved, to hear and to believe, to repent of our sins, to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. To be baptized into Christ through immersion in the waters of baptism. To be raised up by the glory of God to walk in newness of life and to live life faithful until death. Very simple. Faith does that. And the Word of God is our faith that saves. Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious. You know, there's so many other things that we could talk about, and I there's no way I could have listed every single one of them, and there's just too many. Right? The blessings that we receive from God is certainly powerful. The powerful seed of God's Word, we could spend a whole lesson just talking about that. The unity and the fellowship that the church has together is precious. Precious are the many promises that God has made throughout the New Testament, things that are yet to come. Even the death of His saints is precious, right? Psalm 116, verse 15, a psalm that I think we all know, precious is the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. So when you think about it, even dying in the Lord is a precious thing. I'll tell you, dying outside of the Lord is not a precious thing. We talked about that this morning. Dying outside of the Lord, it brings torment until the Lord returns, and then there's separation from God for eternity. Unbelievers are cast into the lake of fire that burns forever. And so there's good reason to think about the precious things of God. Your soul is precious to God, more precious than the entirety of creation. And if we can understand that and accept that, then we can accept the fact that God simply wants us to come to Him in obedient faith. Humble ourselves. If you have a need this night, if you have not been baptized, then I encourage you to do so now. If you have any other need, do so now. Don't let the time pass, because precious is your soul and precious is the Lord. We have a song of invitation. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? That's the big question. I hope you will if you need to, as we stand and as we sing. The voice of the Savior.